base medrash. I'm used to being lower. Not used to being so high. Having scared of heights. Okay, anyway, I wanted to... This is a very... Those who read the Mar Mako are used to a shmuz. This is a very, very simple shmuz. But I thought it's a good... Because it's the first shmuz of the year, so it's really a good orientation to what the idea of a shmuz is. So I first want to explain a little bit what the idea of a shmuz is, and then we'll apply it to here. Now, there are many different schools of Musar. Obviously, Musar is very, spread, there's many. And Edo ve'edo and Chas v'Shalom were not anything Lashon Hara about any other school of Musar. But a person has to appreciate what you have. Doesn't mean somebody else doesn't have something different. But there's a special gift of Musar in the, so to speak, the Salbaka Derech of Musar, which is a special gift that we have to appreciate. And this gift of Musar, that they had a unique approach in how to say a Musar Shmuz. So I just want to try and explain what that is. The goal of a Musar Shmuz, obviously, or any a sermon, my father was a shul rabbi, I don't have anything against sermons, my brother is a shul rabbi. The goal of any shmuz, sermon, machshava, and whatever different line, maimer, they're all the same. The goal is two things. Basically, it's to inspire. You want to inspire the people to be better. And to teach, to enlighten, to give information. Two main goals. So the Salbaka approach, at least, was, in a certain sense, there's a negative to it, but there's a tremendous maida, is that when a shmuz is what they call mukhruch, it accomplishes both of those two goals much better. Mukhruch means that the person is convinced that this is definitely what the parish meant, what the Rashi meant, what the Ramban meant, what the Sipurnu meant. Meaning that many, many, again, sermons, drushes are sometimes like plays and words, and it's not really what your poetic license, it's not really what the person necessarily meant, but the speaker is putting it in. So really, the thought, it's not the Ramban speaking, it's the rabbi, the Rosh Hashiva, it's his thought, which is obviously, if he's a Gadol b'Yisrael, it has tremendous value. But but you can't say that this is necessarily what Rashi meant. This is this Gadol's interpretation of Rashi. I can come up with a different interpretation of Rashi. Now, that doesn't mean that we belittle it. Chas v'shalom. If Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'm just picking an example of a hat, says a pshat in Rashi, that's Das Torah, and that's Gadolus. But the Yeshiva felt, and it's a Sabaka approach, that as much as we're Machshev Rav Moshe, we're Machshev Rashi more. So if I knew for sure this is what Rashi meant, then there's a certain inspiration more. There's a certain, I can live my life based on that. If it's Rav Moshe, obviously I trust Rav Moshe, but it doesn't carry the same inspiration. Well, maybe Rav Moshe does carry, maybe that's not a good example, but if it's somebody else, if it's some person, if it would be me, so he goes, okay, because maybe he's wrong, maybe I disagree. So the Salbaka approach was to be able to see, just like in learning in Gemara, we believe that there's much more that the Chazal meant, much more than we read in the superficial. So Rashi, Ramban, Sipurnu meant much more. And if we could figure out what they really meant and be confident that this is what they are for sure saying, then that's much more inspiring. And then emotionally more inspiring. And it's also, you can live your life on it because you can go to the bank. 100% that it's true. How can, obviously, if Rashi says something, he can pass an halacha l'maisa. You can risk your life based on that. Now the problem is that usually things are not so. It's not written explicitly. So to be able, the goal then is to uncover in the parish what he really meant. And especially, we were saying that the value of a shmooze is to get inspiration. That itself is very inspiring because we have a chazal in Bar Metzia. Adam writes the bekav shelo yoser meitisha kav shachavero. When a person uncovers something himself, when a person finds something himself, that's so inspiring. It's because it's yours. I know I'm a little bit not so young. Over 60 years ago, I made my first shmooze on this week's parsha. It was it's a pretty obvious shmooze, I'm not going to say it, but about in the Anamolek. But I still remember it because I made it. I said it. Now, the Captain Rashiva said it also later, I heard it, but I thought of it first. Not really. I thought of it first before the Rashiva. I heard it from the Rashiva. The Rashiva said it first. But okay, but there's an amazing inspiration. When you come up with your own shmooze, it has a tremendous inspiration, and then it stays by you. It's something that you, so the advantage of a shmooze is it allows you, if you have the skill of a shmooze, you can go home your whole life, you have a skill, you open up the parsha, you read, like here it's just a simple Rashi, and you see, you're able to see what Rashi is really saying. And since, even though it's real, Rashi is really saying, but most people wouldn't know that Rashi is really saying it, so you feel good about it, that I found it, it's my discovery, so it gives you this tremendous inspiration, and it really changes you. So what we're trying to do, to teach, is how to find something that's mukhruch, that's a big Chafetz Chaim word, that's definitely pshat in the Chazal, and yet it's not explicit. Because if it's explicit, it doesn't inspire you so much. Everyone knows that. But if I discovered it, then I feel better. But if I discovered it, then maybe it's not right. Aha. But I discovered it, and it's really ripe shot. So the answer is that there are things that are hidden. And there are two ways, obviously, of saying a shmooze. One way, which is mutter, but it's a little bit of a b'diavin. Many, many shmuzim are this way. I don't want to knock them, but it's just not the highest level. Is you ask a question, it's a valid question, and you come up with an answer, and there is no other answer to answer the question. And therefore you say, well, apparently this is what Rashi must have meant, and that's the shmooze. The drawback with that system is that even though you think that no one else can come up with another answer, you never know. Maybe you'll go, someone will come up with a different answer. And in the back of your head, you sell yourself that also. You're right, I can't think of another answer. But that doesn't mean there's no other answer. So it doesn't carry the same strength of the shmooze. The best shmooze, which, to be honest, not every shmooze is this way. Even the Rashiva did not, every shmooze reached this. I don't want to create a bar that most of the shmoozing can't reach. But the best shmooze is where it's not a question. It's that it actually says it, but somehow most people don't see it. It's an optical illusion. And then when you see it, it's really there. In other words, it's like when I would go when I had little kids, and I would walk down the park, and I would say, and we go over and say the bridge here. And say, look, there's a turtle. Where? I don't see. Over there, right there. Where? Until they finally see it. Oh, yeah, there is a turtle. So you have to be able to focus. So the shmooze is the ability to focus when it's there, then you really see it. But most people don't see it because it's camouflaged. So the people, of course, who make fun of the shmoozim, that's the famous, could it be? Yes, it could be. But that's that is really the best form of the shmooze, where it becomes actually, it's a feeling that this is actually mukhruf. This is definitely what Rashi is saying, definitely what the Marsha is saying, definitely what the Ramban is saying. It's just most people wouldn't notice it. Okay, getting here, I think this is a very good example because it's a very, very simple schmooze. But yet, again, someone without the training might not necessarily have seen it. We have a pasuk that says that there's a din in the Torah, you go to war, you see an Eshes Yifas Torah, he's a beautiful woman, you have a desire for her, the Torah allows you to marry her, providing you go through a certain process. Says Rashi, that the Dibra Torah, like in the Yitzhahar, the Zimar and Kedushin, that really the best thing, the Torah would not want you to marry her. She's a non-Jewish woman, what he wants to marry her. But the Torah felt almost like they had no choice, because if the Torah would have said it's usher, so then you would just stop, go ahead and marry her. This way, the Torah gave you a heter, and it made it either there won't be as much of a Yetzirah, because you don't have as much Yetzirah, something that's mutter, and if you will marry her, at least you'll marry her in the process, with a more kosher process. So therefore, the Torah made a mutter because basically Rashi says, if they wouldn't have made it us mutter, Yisa'ena be'isser. That's what Rashi says. Okay, fine. That's Rashi. So the standard, most common thing in every shmooz, anyone who's been hearing shmooz, is basically we try to understand the Chazal by making it real life. By stopping to ask ourselves a few simple questions. Who are we talking about? Where are we talking about? When are we talking about? Right? So over here, who are we talking about? Who is this person that the Torah said that if they won't make him mutter, he'll marry her b'isser? The Torah would say it's also you marry her anyway. Well, what are we talking about? A guy goes to war. Okay, well, wait a second. Did you read the Pal Turim? Right? Pal Turim quotes the Gemara, and it's based on a pasuk really in the earlier parsha that in the Torah, before they went to war, the Kohen said anyone who was afraid of any Aveira shouldn't go. Any soldier in the Jewish Torah, in a proper army in the time of the Torah, who went to war, was a tzaddik. That's what he says, the Baal Turim. Shein yaitzin emelcham, and it's tzaddikim. So this person, the Torah has made, we're talking about a tzaddik. Right? A tzaddik. So why can't a tzaddik, if we tell him not marry her, he's not going to listen? He's a tzaddik. Chafetz Chaim. Right? That's a tzaddik. Furthermore, keep on reading Rashi. Rashi says, Avo imdasa, sofa leosayna, shenemar akad yebish, So the very next parsha, Ben Sarah Moira, was written for this person as a way of motivating him not to marry her. Now, what is Ben Sarah Moira? It means that when the son goes ahead, doesn't do such terrible aveiras, Ben Sarah Moira. He's a little bit shows a tendency to whatever is basically the Chazal say, he's killed Hashem Seifo. So your parents take him to Bezin, and they said that our son has these dangerous tendencies, and therefore we have reason to suspect that when he gets older, he might go off the derech something, and they kill him. So that means that this person is doing the equivalency of Akedas Yitzchak. Right? He's taking his son to Bezin, his 12-year-old son, whatever it is, and saying his son he drank a certain amount of wine, whatever the exact Gedorim of a Ben Sarah murder, and knowing that Bezin are going to kill him if he sounds guilty. That's a pretty big tzaddik. I don't want to say it's not just a Chafetz Chaim, because one's done that too, but that's a tremendous tzaddik. The person is able, from the psukim itself, this very person who the Chazal says, well, we had to allow you to marry this woman because we can't tell you no, but we are telling you that if you have a son from her, you're going to have to kill him. Oh, and that we expect you to listen to. Well, if you don't expect me to listen not to marry her, how do you expect me to listen to kill my son? Well, in other words, the guy is a big enough tzaddik that he's able to go to war. He qualifies for the Baal Turim Tzaddik. He's a big enough tzaddik that in 10 years from now, when his son becomes older, when he marries this woman, and he has a child, he can go ahead and get the and take the bezin to kill him. But he's not a big enough tzaddik to control himself not to do it. So that's the who. Now we go to the when. Where are we talking about? Okay, now, Ein Hachinami, part of the when is, we're talking about in battle, and a person is in an emotional state, and it's hard to be as, he's not seeing the base medrash, thinking and learning. But on the other hand, if you read the Orach Chaim points out also, that the battles were nisim gluyim were happening in the battles. There were battles, the Christian went to battle in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the walls of Jericho went, you know, they saw whatever, you know, they come tumbling down, you know, they're going to war, they're seeing miracles, the Orach Chaim says right here. So that you're talking about a tremendous tzaddik, he goes to war, he's seeing miracles in front of his eyes, so at such a point in time, you'd expect him to be under more, on a higher spiritual level. So what, basically, right? So, you know, this is our, could it be? Yes, it could be. In other words, what the basically, what the Rashi is saying, based on the Gemara, is that even a tzaddik, who is in a situation where he's seeing miracles, if he's in this extreme temptation, he will not be able to control himself. And even if the Torah said beferish, no, he can't. In other words, there's a ben sarah mayre, that's not on the spur of the moment. He can sit, clear, maybe yes, maybe not. And a tzaddik to decide, to discuss it with his rav, he'll discuss with his wife, that yes, we should do it. But this is in war, and the women were, and a little bit, you're in the gang, we said in war, you're in an emotional state. A little bit in an emotional state, you're going to war. And the women there, this is what one of the means of warfare, the Mephoreshim say, the goyim used to use, is they used to use their, dress up their daughters or women as a distraction to the army. So therefore, they're enticing you. So when you're going to war and you're being enticed by this zayna, it's a person, even a tzaddik, will, on a spur of the moment, takes just a moment, then you're nichshu and it's over. So he can't control himself. So he needs, if you tell him that it's usher, he won't be able to control himself. Tell him it's mutter with a process, okay, so there's pas pasada, whatever. So then he can have more control, which is a different shmooze, which, okay, we're not going to get into. So what the basic idea is a tremendous chiddush, and I think it's mukhrach. I think it's mukhrach, because that's what Rashi's saying, that you deal with a tzaddik, right? The Baal Turim says the Pharisee is a tzaddik. The fact that he's going ahead and bringing his son as a ben sarim meirer shows that he's a tremendous tzaddik. And yet, the same person, if you tell him beferish, don't you dare marry that woman, or don't have be with that woman, he's not going to listen. Because he has this taiva, which is too strong. It's a burning desire. And on the spur of the moment, he can't control himself. So it's a insight in that the realization that just because a person is a tzaddik is not a guarantee that he won't be nisha. What's the guarantee? The guarantee is to avoid the nisyanis. A normal person doesn't put yourself in a situation where you're in war and there's a woman that's going out to enticing you. But when you're in such a situation, being a tzaddik is not a guarantee, right? This is the famous shmuz, the very famous shmuz, that ko'aroya saita be'kukulo yinozer asma min ayayin. It says kol. Kol means, we said this last year, kol means everybody, which means even the Chavetz Chaim, if you see a saita, you realize that I could also be nechsho. And therefore, what do you have to do? You have to avoid the situation. Yinozer asma min ayayin. In this case, it means yinazir atma from a case, being in a situation where there are prutzes around. Don't put yourself here. In this case, you had no choice. You had to go to war, but you don't walk in a normal situation. You don't walk into a room which is full of zaynas. You know you know that because you can't trust yourself. So the chiddush of the shmuz is. It's just, you know, it's just that the Rashi says, you know, that it's just adding. It's See, that's the beauty of a shmooze. It's that we're almost like not adding anything. We're just adding the coloring to the dying. Rashi said beferish that if Hashem would tell you it's usher, he would do it anyway. But we're just adding the background, which just by reading the psukim carefully, that we're talking about a tzaddik. How do we know we're talking about a tzaddik? Because that's the Baal Turim says, only tzaddiks went to war. And also we're talking about a tzaddik because he's killing his son as a ben sarah meirer. And then we add in the orachayim, kayachatzir, that when? We're talking about at a moment when he's seeing miracles. And the realization that all that, when a person's in an environment, which is this type of environment where he's being enticed, and maybe also he's in a crazy mood because he's in a battle. Is also there's two things. He's in a crazy mood himself because he's in war and he's being enticed. Then it's almost always intellect doesn't help him. Okay. The application is of course that therefore we have to know that not to trust ourselves and to avoid putting ourselves into such a situation. And I remember years ago, many, many years ago, I was a rabbi, I was in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has many, many mitzvahs. Regretfully, it also has many distractions. And there was a guy in the yeshiva who was taking full advantage of all the distractions. And he was going to certain places that weren't so kosher. And obviously socializing, etc., etc. And I spoke to him and I said, listen, you know, obviously, you know, he was doing certain things that shouldn't be done. But I said, but obviously, listen, you know, you realize that there's a certain point, you don't want to cross, and you know, you're liable to, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to end up doing something, you know, that you realize that you shouldn't do. And he got so, I know my red lines. I'll never cross my red lines, right? So this shmooze is saying that he is wrong, right? There's no such thing as I'll never cross my red lines. If you go ahead and you put yourself in a situation that you're tremendously enticed, then the human nature, you can be the biggest tzaddik in the world, which this guy was not. And if the enticement, if you're in that situation, you're only guaranteed. Hashem can't even give the mitzvah because you're guaranteed. He can give a mitzvah of dying on Kiddush Hashem, right? We have a pasuk in Kriyat Shema. You're supposed to die on Kiddush Hashem. There it doesn't say Hashem didn't give that mitzvah because people will be nitsha, will do it. Well, that a person can do. That we expect people to do. But this being, when you're in such a situation, a person, it's almost, obviously we're not giving a person a heter that if you're in such a situation, you can be matter. It didn't say it's impossible. But it's very, very difficult. So the goal, therefore, the limit of the shmooze is that a person has to avoid these situations, to realize that one cannot trust themselves. We're not denying you're a tzaddik. We're admitting you're a tzaddik. You'll be ready to be meiser nefesh. You'll be ready to give your kids on Kiddush Hashem. You'll be ready to die yourself on Kiddush Hashem. But that doesn't guarantee that you won't be nichshol if you're in the wrong situation. And therefore, of course, the application is to avoid those situations.
Where's the bomb? Okay, here.